Yeah, here's Tomo Sarkowski. Welcome to today's OOR session. And we will present today a prototype of OntoHub, which is ontology repository for ontologies written in different languages. And Christoph Lange from Bremen University will do the presentation. And there's also a small video with an online demo of the tool. Christoph, the slides, can you paste them in the chat?
No,
they are
even linked from the the page of this session.
Yeah, and the shared screen also has the slide, your opening slide up, so people on the shared screen can see.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I will advance the slide, so please call out with every advance and also call out the slide number if you can.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And the video, we can just rely on everyone watching this through YouTube, or should we also have it? Yeah, probably it would also be good to have it on the shared screen, yeah?
Yep.
I will announce when to start the video.
Yes, the videos should probably be best run on your local machine from YouTube, because then the share screen will be too slow to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Then please go ahead, Christoph.
Okay. Well, thanks for the introduction. So this is about OntoHub, a repository for distributed ontologies. First of all, on slide 2, you see a link to a site where we have a public demo. For now, this is really just a demo site, but quite soon you can expect more content and more reasonable content there. The whole thing is open source on GitHub. You can find the sources and you can report bugs and anything else. So OntoHub is an engine for managing an ontology repository. And it has a web front end. It is particularly specialized, or it will be specialized in the near future, on managing distributed ontologies. Let me quickly explain what we mean by this. We, plus several other attendants, have been working on an ISO standard, which is in working draft stage at the moment. Standard is called Ontology Integration and Interoperability, in short, OntoIOP, and it is specifying the distributed ontology language. Here on the on slide 2, you also have a link to a page in the OntoLog wiki that provides more background about this. By distributed, we mean that ontologies can be logically heterogeneous, that is, consisting of multiple modules in different logics, different ontology languages, that they can be modular, that they can be interlinked, that they can be annotated with logical and non-logical information, and that they can be distributed over the web. On slide 3, some more details about OntoHub's relation to distributed ontologies. DOL, the distributed ontology language, is still under development, and OntoHub does not currently support DOL as a language, but in its current version, it supports two different ontology languages. For a start, this is OWL and Common Logic. For now, you should use specific encodings of these languages, but this will be generalized very soon. But the important point is that OntoHub's notion of an ontology is as generic as possible. It doesn't make any assumptions about specific ontology languages and logics, but it treats any ontology as a bag of entities, also called symbols. These entities have kinds. For example, in OWL, you could have the entity kind class or object property. Then, besides entities, there are axioms in ontologies. Well, and ontologies are written in some ontology language. All objects in OntoHub are identified by IRIs, that is Unicode Aware URIs, they can have metadata and comments. Well, at the moment, not all objects are identified by URIs yet. So far, this is only supported for ontologies, but we are working on adding the rest. Slide 4, the current state of development of OntoHub. We are in a very early stage, but we have a fully functional prototype. Henning and Julian did 2 weeks of agile web development. This was a course at our university. Supervision was done by Till and me. We kind of acted as customers coming up with requirements for this system. But now this development is being continued. And as you can see on GitHub, there are already a lot of, well, feature requests and bug reports. You can expect a lot of work in the next weeks and months. With OntoHub, we did not aim at providing yet another ontology repository engine. There is no point in reinventing BioPortal. For example, BioPortal is fine, but BioPortal and other repository engines they focus on single ontology languages and single logics, and we aimed at more distributedness in the sense as I explained earlier. And for gaining practical experience with this, well, we somehow needed to build a self-contained prototype that also does a bit of general ontology repository functionality. So we didn't completely do it on our own, like figuring out what an ontology repository should do, but I mean, for OOR, all this work has been done. There are lists of requirements for OOR, so we just took a subset of this, what we figured that could possibly be realized within 2 weeks. And I think we did a reasonable job at this. In more detail on slide 5, the current architecture of this. This is also, we also tried to stick to the to what had been established for OOR so far. On the right side, you see the planned design of the OOR, and on the left side, you see OntoHub as it is now. These bold and italic terms are, well, exactly the component names of the OOR architecture. The way it's done is right now somewhat more monolithic, just because we wanted to get it running in a short time. It's a Ruby on Rails application with following the model view controller pattern. It works by, well, RESTful URIs. And for the ontologies themselves are stored in the file system. Information about the ontology and about users and about everything else is stored in a relational database. And there is separate services. For now, they run on the same machine, but in principle, they could be decoupled and run somewhere else on the web. There are services that that provide search and a service that provides inference and access to the structural properties of the ontologies. In the video, you will see more details about this. Now, you can actually start the video and wait. No, an introduction before. At this, on slide 6, you again have a link to our demo page. On this site, you can simply register a user account. For now, also feel free to reuse my account with the password from the slide, because I have admin permissions. You can, well, don't mess around, but also, on the other hand, don't upload anything that is valuable, because, well, it's a prototype at the moment. We might eventually delete all contents from the database and set it up once more. So for now, feel free to do whatever you like. And, well, now it's time to start the video.
I have posted the link to the chat room.
Great.
Okay. Yeah, and if you have any comments, feel free to post them on the chat, and then I will maybe answer them instantly or afterwards.
I just finished watching. Shall we go back to Till or Christoph?
Yes. Okay. Can I go on with the slides now?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, let's just quickly walk through the slides that show the demo, because they might contain more information than the video here and there. Well, slide 6, 7, 8 is fine, 9 as well, 10, okay, 10 we have a link to HETS, as you saw in the video. HETS is the service that tells OntoHub about the entities and axioms in an ontology and about the logic of an ontology. This is, in terms of the OR architecture, it is the inference component, at least part of the intended functionality of the inference component. But actually, HETS can also do a lot more than just finding entities in an ontology. Below on slide 10, you have a link to further work about HETS. But HETS was also presented in an earlier OR call. Maybe does someone, Till or Peter, does someone have the link to this earlier session from some years ago?
I can look for it.
Is that the same one I sent to you with the video? That will find the link and paste it in the chat.
Okay, thanks. Let me go on. Slide 11 is nothing new. 12, neither. 13, 14. No, that's all. That's all fine. So we covered everything that I wanted to demo. Now slide 15 about the work we're going to do in the near future. Well, first of all, we need a few more features which are useful for any general ontology repository. The search functionality could be slightly improved in terms of usability and what you can search for and how it is displayed. Then some new features that will actually be easy to add is that you can also add metadata and comments to entities and axioms. This requires entities and axioms to be identified by URIs. Metadata editing in the interface, also at least a rudimentary editing of ontologies. Maybe as we get source code range information from HETS, we might even allow for editing this axiom by showing a text box that just shows the source of the axiom or the entity declaration the user is interested in, and then more features that you know from social websites. If you have any ideas, feel free to post them as feature requests on our GitHub page. Now for something that is a bit more OR specific, slide 16. Here again you see the OntoHub architecture as it is now, and well, you learned about the HETS service and what we're using it for. At the moment, the HETS software is installed locally on the same machine as OntoHub. In the spirit of OR, this should of course be decoupled, and not only allowing for the possibility to run HETS somewhere else. That might not even make sense, because for HETS it's most convenient to just access the ontologies in the same file system location where OntoHub stores them. But HETS telling us about entities and axioms in an ontology is not really the only service that we could imagine in a repository for distributed ontologies. So it should be possible that any web service, say with a RESTful interface, can somehow be used from OntoHub and provide useful information that the OntoHub web interface will then display. Once more, if you have more ideas about this, please let us know. Slide 17.
To be more precise, I think the main point in decoupling is that we should start with the logical inference engine and decouple this, because we cannot basically decouple everything at once, and this would be a good starting point.
Okay. Slide 17 is now about, well, about the core area in which OntoHub specializes, about distributed ontologies. There are some aspects of distributed ontologies that we did not yet realize within the first 2 weeks of implementation. Well, actually, the only one we realized, one and a half, is ontologies in different logics, which you have seen for OWL and Common Logic. And what also works to some extent is linked data compliance, in that you can download ontologies from OntoHub by saying I want the ontology in the not as HTML as an HTML page that describes the ontology, but in the MIME type that its source file has, and then you will get the source file. But there is more to linked data compliance. Well, first about links between ontologies. This is an important feature that we still need to add. Links between ontologies. This is also an important feature of DOL, the distributed ontology language. There will be the possibility to establish form interpretations between ontologies that follow a formal semantics, but also any kind of informal alignments between ontologies. And optionally, these links will also be able to map individual entities from the source ontology to individual entities from the target ontology. What's more to link data compliance? That is, it should be possible, like when the user creates a new ontology in OntoHub and says, well, this ontology does not have a URI that is somewhere else on the web, but when this ontology is originally created in OntoHub, it should be possible to download a machine-readable description of the ontology, that is the source code of the ontology, right from its URL that it has in OntoHub. And it should also be possible that OntoHub can talk about external ontologies without the need to import them into its own database. This is important when you think of, for example, linked open data sets, like DBpedia, the linked data sets created from Wikipedia. This can be considered a lightweight ontology, but it is, I think it's several gigabytes in size, and you don't want to import it anywhere. You just want to talk about it and leave it where it is. And then another very important point, especially for the Onto IOP ISO standard that we're working on, is that we want to turn OntoHub into our installation of OntoHub into a registry for ontology languages and translations. Because DOL is, and the Onto IOP standard is about providing a generic framework in which, in principle, all existing and all possible future ontology languages can be used. And for this to work, well, there are certain conformance criteria. When does an ontology language and when does a translation between two ontology languages conform with our standard? And for any ontology language, it should be possible to establish this conformance. And when someone has done this, it should be possible to register this new ontology language in a public registry where some experts, editors will review it and then say, okay, this ontology conforms with the Onto IOP framework, and then it will be possible that from the OntoHub site, that anyone, any user or any service interested in this ontology language can retrieve a lightweight RDF description of this ontology and can, of course, also browse it via the HTML interface. Well, this concludes our presentation, and now we can start the discussion. Thank you very much.
So this is pretty good. So with the persistent store, what is it right now? Is it the SQL database for ontologies?
It's a file system plus a SQL database for the metadata.
And then every ontology has an IRI, right?
Right.
Now, in what sense would this be not a federated system? So, let's see, if we go to the I lost it. If we go to the your OntoHub page, so there are some latest ontologies there. You have a friend of a friend, some from Colore, there's an owl ontology there. So the persistent store simply stores that IRI, the URI.
No, the file system has a local copy of the ontology, mm-hmm. but the idea is that the main copy is at the IRI.
Okay.
Of course, later on we also plan that the ontologies could be edited, so you might very well use OntoHub for creating new versions, although we mainly plan to have this for ontology links.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ontologies themselves, for example, if you have an OWL ontology, you would probably use Protégé to edit it and not a web-based service. Or maybe Web Protégé, but it's no point in reinventing the wheel here.
Mm-hmm.
But say for links between ontologies, they could be also stored in OntoHub as a primary.
Right, so like if we look back at the prototypical examples for OntoIOP, say some of them either being showing the relationship between, say, the OWL axiomatization of OWL time and the first order axiomatization of OWL time, or the other example being constructing a heterogeneous time ontology by taking some axioms that are in OWL and some axioms that are in RIF and some axioms that are in common logic. So the idea would be that you could use OntoHub to define, let's say, either that heterogeneous ontology, or you could also use it to define the relationships using DOL.
Yes, certainly. And so a DOL ontology would be also a genuine, OntoHub ontology, because currently this will be the only repository where you can store such things. And other ontologies like, say, Colore or OWL ontologies will be stored on the web.
Right, okay. All right. So then the idea would be that there would be DOL files that would specify the heterogeneous ontologies and also possibly the mappings between existing ontologies that may be located elsewhere but would have a local copy within OntoHub.
So that's a good point here, that one DOL file might contain several ontologies and also several interpretations or matchings between these. And probably for the purposes of OntoHub, these would be split up into separate ontologies and separate mappings that can be processed individually.
So then, does anyone else have a question? I don't want to hog time here. I guess one last question would be, something that you guys have raised, actually in the common logic list a couple of days ago, was the, issues related to namespacing and relative URIs. What kind of approach is going to be, do you think you would be taking in OntoHub? Well, I guess that kind of depends on how DOL handles it, doesn't it?
Yeah, we have some ideas. Christoph, will you present it? Or?
Hello, this is Christoph. Can you hear me?
What?
I guess I guess I was just muted before. Yes, I do have ideas. I do have answers to this question. For DOL, the answer is that we are going to use full absolute IRIs for identifying everything, and that we're going to offer syntactic namespace prefixes as a means of making it less tedious to write down long IRIs. We are going to adopt a very liberal prefixing mechanism that also allows to use arbitrary path components and so on in such abbreviated names. But this is all conforming with semantic web standards. We just have to pick the right ones. For OntoHub, the further answer is I mean, this question about relative URIs in common logic that cropped up when looking into ontologies importing other ontologies. And for OntoHub, the current answer is OntoHub does not currently support links between ontologies. So we have not yet thought about what it should support. But I mean, for common logic at Colore, I think we're tending towards supporting relative URIs for importing different common logic texts in the same repository and so on. Is probably convenient, but we need to discuss it outside of this session, and then HETS will implement support for this, and HETS will provide all of this structural information to OntoHub, and then OntoHub will use it in some way. So actually we said that HETS tells OntoHub about the logic, the entities, and the axioms of an ontology, it already also tells OntoHub about the imports found in an ontology, but OntoHub does not yet process this information. So I guess there will, depending on the ontology language, there will be different approaches to this, and DOL will also have its approach, and ideally OntoHub will support all of them.
Right. Okay.
Peter here, I have a question. What are your thoughts about integration with what BioPortal has so far? I mean, before you started, I mean, I had this thought of, I mean, because BioPortal is totally missing a common logic backend, that I mean a backend that's tacked onto the BioPortal using OS user interface front end would be interesting. But it looks like, I mean, you guys have developing a very compelling front end as well. So how do you see sort of something like this integrate into BioPortal from a UI standpoint?
I think the most compelling aspect of the BioPortal UI is the fancy display of the class hierarchy, and that you have this graphical interface where you can browse through the classes and expand subclasses and so on. And I think so my hope would that we can ideally just take the code for this, which is also Ruby on Rails, and integrate it into the Rails code of OntoHub. And this would be a display for our ontologies. And we have discussed last week that we could define a number of different displays. Another kind of display would be for first order ontologies, where we probably would more buy some ideas from the Sigma KB portal from Adam Pease for his sumo ontology. And then we could also try to extract, take a common logic ontology and extract classes and object properties out of this, although this is not uniquely defined, but maybe we find some way of doing this, and thereby connecting cohomologic ontologies with the BioPortal interface for OWL as well. So we would end up with a number of interfaces for specific languages and of translations to interfaces, and then the BioPortal OWL interface would be one of these interfaces.
Sounds exciting. Maybe a question for Michael as well. Michael, since you are planning the program for the Ontology Summit face-to-face.
Yes.
Is there some way this could be featured or talked about?
Yeah, I mean, if you think that it's in scope for the demo session, then definitely yes. I mean, I'm not sure if anyone else, if anyone from Brainwin will be actually at the symposium, but since I'll physically be there, I mean, I could give this demo on.
I think that would be on
Christoph's behalf. Yeah.
Well, sounds great. We should talk about this and prepare you to give this demo.
Sure.
Yeah, that should be great because, I mean, we have, I mean, if you looked at the various inputs from the track champions, I mean, except for those people who are talking about systems, most of the other work is on, especially those on big data and linked data, more towards very lightweight ontologies, so this would balance out the program.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think we should do that.
So a totally different question. Maybe Mike and Ken could tell us, what is BioPortal's database backend now? Are they on MySQL?
As I recall, it's MySQL.
MySQL. Yeah, I noticed, Till and Christoph, you've chosen Postgres SQL, not that it really matters. Is there sort of good flexibility in using a different backend?
Well, this is probably something that Julian or Henning could answer best. Are you there? I think, Julian, you once explained this to me. Or Henning is typing something into the chat. Let's wait for him. Aha. At this point, it would be absolutely no problem to change to another database management system. Well, Julian, maybe you're muted. Then you have to press, thanks, Ali, *7 in Skype to unmute yourself.
Actually, only John Bateman is being muted.
Oh, really?
Sorry, John.
Well, then it could be a technical problem.
Right.
I will simply say what I recall from Julian explaining to me that in PostgreSQL, it supports more features of the SQL language, also more rules that enforce consistency and updates of tables when something changes to other tables. I think for these reasons, it was chosen. But other than that, it is portable to any. It should be portable to any relational database. Right. And ideally, I recall a 2010 or so paper on BioPortal where they said they moved most of the storage, also of, well, for example, things like user accounts and so on, they moved that away from the relational database level into the ontology storage level. So basically they treat all of their own metadata as ontologies, and so ideally when we are talking about the integration of different ontology repository engines, we shouldn't think too much of the relational database level.
Right. I mean, Ray Focus, and also in a fairly recent presentation, also mentioned that their strategy is to move to a triple store. Not that it helps us any, especially if we're going to put a lot of focus in common logic. But that's where BioPortal is going.
I mean, OntoHub stores the sources of the ontology, of the ontologies as files in the file system, and the rest, the other information, like ontology metadata, ontology links, other descriptions of ontologies and of ontology languages, this can all be conveniently represented as RDF triples. So why not? The first order logic stuff in common logic cannot reasonably be represented as RDF, and that's why we're storing it as files. But the structural outline, like what entities, what axioms are there in these ontologies and what entities occur in what axioms, this can be done in RDF.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a question of like what are the objects here, and so within BioPortal, you know, say the relations and classes are objects. So things like those are restricted to be, you know, binary and unary relations. And so you can kind of talk about them in the database and refer to properties of them. The axioms themselves are not, you know, I think would be, you know, kind of stored separately. So just in the sense, the same way that you could say a common logic axiom would be stored separately. So like, you know, axiom would be the property in an RDF triple. I think the issue would be though that the, because the relations and, classes themselves are things in BioPortal, that's what kind of gives the restriction when it comes to common logic. So, because you'd have arbitrary kinds of relations, that you'd want to have there.
It's not the axioms per se. I don't think it's
the axioms per se that causes the problem in kind of re-engineering the BioPortal backend. The other thing too is that in something like say Calore, you know, ontologies are almost the things. You know, like using DOL for example as a meta language, the relations between ontologies are meta level relations. So. You know, these are relations between ontologies, so in that sense, the ontologies are the things. I'm not sure if that's really the case within BioPortal. I don't think you can talk about ontologies as things. When ontologies are mapped to each other, it's mainly mapping the classes and relations within the ontology to each other, not the ontologies themselves.
So I have just looked at the database schema of OntoHub, and... there are some binary tables, some ternary and some quaternary tables. So if all these tables would be treated as RDF, then the hierarchy would need to be kind of reified in order to fit into the RDF scheme. I'm not sure whether this is feasible from an efficiency point of view, but maybe this has the advantage that we can use, say, Sparkle and so on for querying all these data. So we will discuss this and consider this, whether the whole OntoHub store could be based on a triple store if the BioPortal discusses the same thing.
Hi, this is... Can you hear me? It's Ken Maslowski.
Yes.
Yeah. One important aspect of a repository is the granularity. What is the administered item of the repository? In BioPortal, it's actually an ontology version. They keep track of what versions are for a particular ontology. Is that the same idea for... what you're doing?
Yes, in principle, yes. At the moment, we are not managing versions in a proper way, but ideally it should be like this.
So that, does your schema currently support that notion of ontology and ontology versions? So I'm asking about the metadata that you're maintaining.
Okay, Julian is
typing. There is a table called Create Ontology Versions. So, and you can upload several versions of one ontology. That's already there in the user interface.
Okay, great. So it does match the what BioPortal does. But each of these will have its own IRI, or is it a common IRI?
For now, it is
common.
There is the possibility of giving. Manually giving a new IRI to a new version, or say, for example, if you, I think the IRI is the primary identification of the ontology, and therefore, well, I'm actually not sure. Maybe, Julian, maybe could you type the answer? Like, if I have an ontology with one IRI, and if I say create a new version of this ontology, and then I upload something or I import something which has a new IRI, or I say update this ontology from a new web URL, what happens then?
There?
Yeah, he's typing.
Yes, can someone type the question also? Because
then
it will be out of context.
Yeah, I guess in BioPortal, they don't have the issue of how you represent the identification, the identifier for a version, because they don't use IRIs. So they basically have their own scheme for identification. IRIs don't automatically have a notion of version in them. So you're going to have to come up with some way of specifying version within the IRI, IRI format. So you see my point. There's BioPortal doesn't have a problem with identification of versions because it doesn't use IRIs. If you're using IRIs, suddenly you have an issue of how you represent the version so that you still know what ontology the version belongs to. Even though each version presumably would have to have its own IRI so that you could refer to it.
Yes, the metadata is only stored for the current version at the moment.
But they're not actually supporting old versions.
No, actually not, but it can be extended to support all versions. That's no problem. So actually, we don't have a version number for the metadata. We can just add the version number to the metadata.
But how do you represent that within the IRI?
I think this is a misunderstanding. The version information is not represented within the IRI.
That's right.
So when you specify an IRI, you're just going to get the current version?
Yes, you always get the current version.
Okay. Well, yeah, clearly this is an issue. I mean, how you represent this information so that you can still get access to the older versions and they're still available.
But if BioPortal has a solution there, then we could adopt that solution.
But they don't use IRI, see, so it's not really, you can't really use their solution. They're just using database-generated IDs.
But they don't. They also make their ontologies available in a linked data way. I mean that you can download them by dereferencing their IRIs.
Right. So that's if that's possible, that would be a scheme you could use.
Well, but then how does this work with old versions?
Well,
I'm raising the problem. I'm not really suggesting any solutions.
I know that there are some, well, custom non-standard approaches to this. For example, using the original IRI as it is and then appending a query string with version equals some number. And, well, so far there is simply no standard. And I'm not even sure whether we should try, with ontohub.or/bioportal, whether we should even try to come up with our own standard, or whether we should just do something and then wait for some, well, other smart people to develop the right standard and then adopt it. I'm not sure.
Are there any standards bodies even considering this issue?
Ontology versioning is kind of murky still.
I think it's kind of murky. If you come up with a technique that works well, then presumably the standards bodies will use it. I don't know that there's any competition right now.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you guys are working on an ISO standard. I mean, if you that becomes part of your ISO spec, then I guess people could just say, I mean, somewhere in there, I mean, they have versioning.
Well, how is that handled at something like StorageForge, you know, where I may kind of be relying on somebody else's code, and then they change it, so it's a new version. I guess at SourceForge they don't have IRIs either for their pieces of code.
I may have an idea of
Should we actually save the diffs between one version and the other, and maybe give each version an ID, an internal ID, and that can be referred back to?
Yes, that's a question of storing the versions. We also had the idea of having a Git repository for each ontology, and then we can store all the versions there and get easy diffs and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But now conceptually we are discussing how to refer to these versions. Mm-hmm. Probably just having Git wouldn't be that nice, because Git has very long hexadecimal strings as version numbers. That's probably not what you want for ontology versioning. So I would propose that we set up some scheme in the OntoIOP group, in the ISO standard, and then there will be a process where this standard is actually compared with other ISO standards. And if there is already an ISO standard that combines versioning with IRIs, then the ISO people will bring this up to us, and then we could adopt that solution.
And you can also use Git if you map the Git commits to version numbers. That's no problem.
Could we use hashes in order to create versioning? So they will be unique anyway.
Yes, yes, they are unique, but if you think the versions of or the commit IDs of Git are too long, you can add an alias for the commit ID in the database.
But not only to the Git commit ID. I mean, like the file. If we came up with a hash ID, let's say this digest number for I think it's MD5 for a
SHA
file.
Git
then,
SHA-1.
Yeah, SHA-1. Okay.
Yes.
But then if we come up with a hash number for a hash string for the file, we may come or a digest string for the file. We can come up with unique IDs that are both uniquely identify the version and the file and the ontology.
I'm actually less worried about someone having something at ISO versus someone already doing something at W3C, actually. So is there anyone who's sort of, Mike Dean is on the call. So Mike, how could we find out if someone is already doing something at W3C?
You talking specifically about versioning?
Yes, or I mean, I guess versioning on IRIs, more specifically.
The big question is kind of the logical meaning of the versioning, right? So that if I refer to one ontology, but then it gets changed in some way, then in some sense it's not really the same ontology that I thought it was when I'm using it. And so it's that change that's the issue. And sometimes it's just correcting a typo. So it's kind of like, well, logically that, it was supposed to be the same ontology, but I just fixed a typo. But it's different than saying, oh, there's some deep underlying mistake here, and we had to add axioms or remove axioms. And then, because that's something that's much, kind of more serious.
And by the way, this, Christoph, I have a comment on this, on the request to write up something on this in the OntoIOP standard. I think, well, if there is something that we can build on, great, but I suspect there is nothing, and making up something on our own, I'm not sure whether that will work. It reminds me of the discussion on syntactic versus semantic namespaces that we had, and with the namespaces and ways of abbreviating long URIs, it's like this, that other than syntactic prefixes, which just expand to URIs, and then they are concatenated with the rest, let's say with the local name of something in an ontology, other than that, there is nothing that has been standardized. There is some academic research, but it's not well sufficiently mature and not easy to get it politically accepted. So I'm afraid that we cannot simply make up something related to versioning.
Yes. So OWL2 has a notion of separating OWL, the ontology IRIs, and the version IRIs. I agree that this is still a very, it's been a long-standing problem without, great solutions. And even looking at the namespaces from W3C, in almost all cases that I'm aware of, they've actually chosen just to make changes to the existing namespace rather than to create a new namespace for different versions of standards.
Well, I was referring to namespaces as a feature, like for abbreviating URIs, not related to versions, just in terms of comparing the process of introducing a new conceptual feature. This is probably something that was too closely related onto IOP, to the standardization, and not easily comprehensible to those not involved into onto IOP. But just as an example of how difficult it can be to standardize things.
Mm-hmm. Right, but that said, I mean, while it is difficult, it is very necessary. Because for ontologies to properly integrate or properly interoperate, one actually really needs to know what version you're working on. Otherwise, everything else falls apart. So there is a necessity, even at the sort of ontol-IOP requirement level, that we solve this problem. Even if it's not an easy problem to solve.
Right.
So how could we get further info about W3C? So Ali posted some link. I have taken a quick look. There seems to be something about versioning of URIs there, but it doesn't seem to be the W3C standard for versioning of URIs. And I'm not sure whether it's something in the RDF or OWL communities about this issue that would be nice to learn more here.
I am not completely up to date about this, and I don't know everything, but my general knowledge is that, most of these approaches, also what's said on this page about Dublin Core versioning, there are a lot of vocabularies for talking about versions. Also OMV, the ontology metadata vocabulary, also allows for talking about versions, even in a rather detailed way, but they all work like this, that you somehow come up with different IRIs for each version, and that you then use some vocabulary for interlinking these versions, like that this version precedes that other version, and there is not yet a solution, at least none that I know of, for URIs with a built-in versioning support, like that the version number is somehow part of the URI. But of course, we might simply, for each version of an ontology, we might simply include the version number somewhere in the IRI, and then have the ontology itself accessible by its IRI without version number, and from there have a link to the current version, which is the number IRI. I think these approaches have been used in other systems, and they are supported by not just one web standard, but there are several vocabularies that allow talking about versions in such a way.
Yeah, Mike also has posted some interesting link where IRIs are used for versioning in OWL. So we should have a closer look at this and probably incorporate something like this in the Onto IOPS standard and then also in Onto Hub.
Sounds
are great. There other issues on the table?
Oh, not for me. Very productive meeting, I must say.
I should just have one last question. I guess this is for Ken and Mike, because Todd's gone. Just like, you know, the other people who've been kind of the core part of OR. How do you think this kind of fits into what's been going on within OR? Is this something that you know, we can be adopting, or, you know, how should we kind of treat this work in that broader context? What's your opinion on that?
I think it's really very helpful. It would be nice if the architecture was a little bit more modular, but I can see that you're going in that direction. So it looks great. I'm sure we can incorporate it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Can we look at, let's say, I mean, since
BioPortal people still looks forward to any work being represented architecturally in a tab so that people can add tabs or remove tabs if they don't need the features or functionalities, that this could be rolled into some sort of a tab that some people who need these features could just add a tab and then it'll have all the DOL features or AutoHub features.
So you mean that there would be a plugin or an add-on for BioPortal? So you see the AutoHub?
Right.
Well, you have your own interface.
Right. And essentially, it's just an interface to tack it onto the broader code base.
I mean, it's you have a lot in common with BioPortal in that you're using the same model view controller architecture and you're using REST
and Ruby's on Rails.
You know, BioPortal has a back end that, you know, presumably you could use, and one could also use your back end. I mean, you should be able to use them both at the same time, and rather than have one be a tab in the other. But it's hard to say. I mean,
I guess the tab is just a UI. I mean, it could be anything else, but
the point is you could make use of their functionality via the REST services without using their UI. Does that make sense?
Yeah, surely. But this is kind of restricted to all ontologies. So the question is how can we integrate our data model with the BioPortal data model? And we have a more general data model. But, of course, that would be some way of integrating it, that we have a tab in the BioPortal interface, and then basically if you use this tab, then you use the AutoHub backend with a larger, or with a more general data model than BioPortal has. And like the other way around, where we integrate the BioPortal stuff in onto Hub. I think that could be done in both directions. The main question being how to integrate the data model.
Yeah, if you can integrate the data model for your metadata, perhaps making it compatible with a triple store, then you should be able to do both of those. Either have one as the UI using the back end of the other, and vice versa. You know, either way should work. In the long run, it might be better if you used your UI, which is more general, and then make use of features of the BioPortal that are really quite valuable when you happen to be using an ontology. course, they also have visualization. You don't have your, which you don't quite have yet, but again, that's something you should be able to make use of within your framework.
Yeah, but it's a good point that we should have a look at the BioPortal data model and try to adopt our data model in a way that it becomes more easily integratable.
Yeah, so that was one of the motivations for splitting up the functionality into these components was to allow more of this, you know, more easily, you know, to have different groups do different parts and integrate them together, hopefully seamlessly. We still have a way to go before we can do that. But, you know, it seems to be moving in that direction. I think, you know, we've made a lot of progress. And this what you've developed looks really good.
Yeah, I'm pasting a link on the BioPortal tab implementation details to the chat. So if your team could take a look.
I mean, they have a script that allows you to
introduce a new page and table to the database quite easily. So it's a little harder to add a tab, but you can certainly extend BioPortal quite easily with their script. Yeah, because you have this Rails, because you're based on Rails, you could just take your code and incorporate it into that. You know, they run the script, you know, put your code in, the controller code, and now you've extended BioPortal code with your functionality. Of course, you know, further integrating it, that's a little harder, but just doing an extension, that shouldn't be too hard.
I like Ali's posting related to URIs in APIs. That's kind of close to the way I was thinking of things. It's more kind of the biggest problem is when somebody's using an ontology, what are the issues of changing? What are the impacts of change when someone's using an ontology? And that's kind of a little closer, I think, to the spirit of an API, new version of an API. Because yeah, so that's actually something you're using. If it's something that's kind of talking about, oh, we're all working together on an ontology and it's changing, and oh, which version was that? You know, to me, that's something that's best handled just with, you know, like with any old kind of you know, online code repository like SVN or whatever.
Yes, and one more comment I have on ontology versioning. In whatever solution we come up with inside OOR, we always have to consider that there will be other people developing other ontologies in other repositories, and we still might want to link to these other ontologies from our repository with its, let's suppose, with its perfect versions identification, and so then we still have to support the fallback to unversioned ontologies or to ontologies that keep changing while still having the same URI.
Yeah. You still need that functionality.
Yeah, can you capture that onto the chat? I mean, this is something we should
really
always
good,
say in mind.
Really nice comment. Yeah.
Well, our hour and a half is up. It's been a great session. So, Till, you want to wrap up?
Yeah, thank you for coming on, for discussing, and for the other positive feedback for the OntoHub work. And yeah, we will keep continuing this work. Actually, Daniel will start in the middle of April actually working on this, and we rely on your feedback, so please have a look at the web page and use the GitHub bug checker to post your comments. And of course, if you want to directly contribute with code, or your employees want to do that, it's also welcome. And yeah, as said, we want to go towards more loose coupling of services, but that may take some time. But when we are there, then probably there will be more discussions about integrations of further services. Okay, so that's all for now, I think. And see you at the next session.
Yeah, thank you. Next session, next Tuesday, a regular team meeting, then we can sort of all strategize how to move forward as a team.
Great. Daniel is actually on the phone.
And Daniel, just so you know, we have been on the chat room as well. I'll be posting the chat transcript, but if you refresh the page, there's a link to the chat window, and you can see what the chat has been on anyway.
Okay. Thank you.
Talk to you all next Tuesday.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.